When we spent 2 or 3 weeks in Matthew chapter 13, we were looking at the parables that Jesus was telling the crowds to try to explain to them what is this kingdom of God that Jesus had come to earth to establish, to teach, and then to hand over, as we know the rest of the story, Jesus handed over the work of the kingdom to the disciples and those who were his followers. He told story after story, parable after parable, word pictures, trying to help regular people like you and I understand what exactly it was he was talking about, because the people had one idea of what the kingdom of God would be. Remember their happy time when David was the king and the nation of Israel was flourishing and thriving and growing. Jesus had come to establish the kingdom of God, which was not a physical kingdom of that of the days of King David. It was a little bit different and quite unexpected. In chapter 13, there is a lot of teaching. At the end of chapter 13, Jesus goes to his hometown, teaches, and is rejected. And it says in the one of the last verses of chapter 13 that he was not able to do any miracles there because the people had no faith. So then we move into chapter 14, and chapter 14 is filled with activity, lots of activity. Jesus learns that his cousin, John the Baptizer, has been beheaded. He goes off by himself. He goes off away from the crowds. He needs to be alone, just probably some time to process what had happened to his cousin, probably time to pray alone. Jesus made a habit of going off by himself to a deserted place just to pray. But the crowd saw him, and they followed him on foot. Jesus went by boat, they went on foot, and Matthew's gospel tells us that even though Jesus was tired and he wanted to be away, when he saw the people, he was moved by compassion. He saw that they were needy, their distress, and he did something to relieve them of their distress. Remember, that's our working definition of compassion, because the kingdom of God is the kingdom of compassion. Jesus healed the people. Last week we talked about how it was time for the people to have a meal. The disciples said, "Jesus, send the people home. There's no place around here for them to get food." There were no drive-thrus and no place to just pick up a quick sandwich. And Jesus said, "You give them something to eat." "We don't have anything. We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Bring them to me." And you know, Jesus multiplied the food, gave it to the disciples, and the disciples served the people and served well over 5,000, probably more like 10 to 15,000 people, and had more left over than what they started with. Today, we're still in the same day when Jesus and the disciples served the people their meal. Our text says that Jesus made or compelled the disciples to get in a boat and to go on ahead of him into the Sea of Galilee, or the lake. And then Jesus dismissed the crowd and went off by himself to the mountain to pray. Same day. And then it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, just before dawn, Jesus met the disciples, but without a boat. He walked out onto the water to meet them. Now, why do you suppose Jesus decided to walk on the water? A show of power? Impress? No, that's not what Jesus was doing. Jesus was pretty much low-key, but I'll tell you, walking on top of the water was pretty phenomenal sight. One of the main reasons that Jesus has come to earth is to show us who God is. Remember Emmanuel, God with us? Jesus reveals to us who God is. And so Jesus walked out onto the water. And remember that the disciples, they were absolutely terrified. They thought it was a ghost. they were in a bad storm, a fierce storm, gale winds. They'd been fighting it probably all night for hours and hours. They were exhausted, and now they are terrified. Remember the words that Jesus said to them? Be of good courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. The English translation doesn't do justice to what Jesus is communicating to these men. In the Greek, it is I. It's two words. And in the Greek, it is the equivalent of the Hebrew word that God used to identify himself, to give his name to Moses. I am. In this one statement that Jesus is making, he is identifying himself as I am, as Yahweh, as the God of their ancestors. He's making this connection. Excuse me. And if you look back at the miraculous provision of the food for the people, multiplying the loaves and the bread, it brings us back to the miraculous provision of Yahweh to the children of Israel in the desert. Remember, he delivered them from the oppressive slavery of Pharaoh in Egypt and just called them out and provided for them as they went along. Manna, water from a rock, quail when they were fed up and they wanted some meat. God responded to their cries for help. And then the walking on the water. Jesus, when he gets, just try to use your imagination. We in Florida are familiar with hurricanes and the winds that we can experience during hurricane season, especially from 10 years ago. The winds, and when the winds stir up the waves, there are tropical storm warnings, flood watches, and the whole thing. So imagine, if you will, what it was like to be out on a boat in the middle of a large lake, which was referred to as a sea, the Sea of Galilee. And the boat is being thrown around, and there were several experienced fishermen on this boat, James, John, Peter, and Andrew. They were fishermen before Jesus called them to follow him and be his disciples. And they see this, what seems to be an apparition or a ghost. It must be a ghost. People don't walk on the water. But the boat's being thrown around. Jesus was not being thrown around by the wind and the waves. Otherwise, he would have never made it out to the boat. Peter came out. When he and Peter went back and went into the boat, everything died down. And this showed Jesus as being the ruler of the wind and the waves. So go back then again and make the connection to the children of Israel coming through the desert, and they came across the Red Sea. And what happened? God parted the Red Sea to deliver them from Pharaoh's army that was gaining on them, and they crossed to the other side on dry land. So there are connections here now with Jesus and Yahweh, who provided for the children of Israel in the desert. And now there's a connection here between Jesus and Yahweh, who delivered the children of Israel through the Red Sea, as the God who is the God of miraculous provision, the God of nature. So let's go back to to the I am statement, and who Jesus is helping the people, the disciples at this point, to see who he is. You know, earlier in Matthew's gospel, there is another boat and storm story. In chapter 8, Jesus is in the boat with the disciples. He's asleep below, and a storm kicks up. And again, they're terrified. And finally, they woke Jesus up and said, "Master, don't you care if we die out here?" And what did Jesus do? He got up and he calmed the waves and he calmed the storm. And then they went on with their trip. The difference we see here is in Matthew chapter 8, at the end of the story, the disciples in amazement said, "What kind of a man is this? that the waves and the wind obey him. So now the disciples have, they're learning. There's a learning curve involved here. They're learning because at the end of this storm and boat story, or storm and boat experience with Jesus, they fell down and worshiped him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." See, they're starting to get it. They're starting to catch on bit by bit. You see, they've had the lectures about the kingdom of God and the ways of God, and now they're in the lab. Like when you have a science class, you have your lectures, and then you have your lab experience so you can apply what you've learned and do some experimentation. Well, here they've learned about the kingdom, and here they are serving thousands of people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, with more left over, the generosity of the kingdom of God. And now Jesus is the ruler of all nature. They're finally starting to get it. But what still is troubling, or still just doesn't make sense, is why would Peter, an experienced, seasoned fisherman, get out of the boat? Think of it. They're trying to stay alive in the boat. But Peter sees Jesus, and he wants to get out of the boat. Has he lost his mind? Is he gone mad? In the boat, he's safe, at least for the time being. There's security. You have little control. You know, in the middle of a storm, you don't try to navigate. You just try to stay alive and stay afloat. So what little bit of safety and security he had, he wanted to leave and walk out to Jesus. Maybe he thought if he's going to go, he might as well go with a flourish. You know, I don't know what was in Peter's mind, but I do know that we know what we know of Peter is that he can be pretty impetuous. He can just want to do things and then figure out the rest later. Peter wanted to leave his comfort zone. I'm going to propose that it was childlike faith that Peter had. That if Jesus was there and he'd seen the miracles and the work that Jesus had done, that he wanted to do it too. And he said, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come out and walk to you." And Jesus said, "Come on." And Peter was fine. Until he lost his focus on Jesus and he realized the wind and all that was around him, and he started to sink. And he said, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus pulled him up. You see, Jesus' response to the disciples when he came walking toward them and they were terrified and thought it was a ghost, his response to save them was from their fear was immediate. He didn't make them wait. Now Peter, stepping out in faith, starts to go down, and Jesus responded to him and saved him immediately. Jesus is in the saving business, not making us squirm or go down 3 times. Jesus is in the rescuing business. Now here's something else I want you to think of. Jesus says to Peter, "You of little faith." All my years growing up in Sunday school and Bible school and into my adult years, it's, "Oh, you of little faith." As if he is calling Peter out on his lack of faith. Remember back a few weeks ago, we looked at the parables in Matthew 13. Do you remember the parable of the mustard seed? Jesus said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed. A mustard seed, what is it, about the size of a poppy seed? It's a very small amount of faith. A mustard seed is tiny, but it grows into a large tree that provides shelter and room to nest for the birds and shade for people and food with the mustard. So Peter had a little bit of faith. And that's all it took, apparently, to get out of the boat. Think about it. He was the only one who got out, stepped out of the boat. I don't think that Jesus is reprimanding Peter or calling Peter out for having a little faith based on what Jesus was teaching in the previous chapter, that a little faith is all it takes for starters. And you know, the faith that we have is a gift of God. It's not something that we muster up ourselves. But Peter took that little bit of faith and he stepped out of the boat when he saw Jesus coming and said, if it's you, call me, tell me to come to you. I think he really wanted to, just like a little kid who wants to try something new and exciting. Daddy, daddy, let me do it. Let me try. Faith of a mustard seed grows into a big tree. In other words, God's kingdom starts with just a little bit. Think of the loaves and the fishes, a small amount of food, and it fed thousands of people. When we take our little bit of faith, and we say, Jesus, call me to you. Help me move toward you. What would you like me to do? How can I serve you? What kind of an adventure can we get into? And then we get out of the boat. But see, the thing is getting out of the boat, and that's usually the most difficult step that we take. But it's where the rubber meets the road. And our faith puts feet on and starts walking. In this story, the disciples started out terrified and they wound up worshiping Jesus. That's quite an expanse, an emotion, and where they were as followers of Jesus. Peter, the fisherman, had to leave the safety of his boat to walk on the water with Jesus. And when he went down, Jesus saved him right away. Getting out of the boat means different things to different people. What does it mean for you? What would it be for you to get out of your boat? You know, there's a saying, well, we're all in the same boat. Yes, and getting out of the boat means different things to us. We're all human. We are not in the habit of taking risks. The older I get, the less risks I want to take. I just want to be safe. What is it for you to step out of the boat for you? Is it perhaps to pick up the phone and call someone that you haven't talked to in a while? Or your relationship with a family member or a friend or a neighbor has been strained a little bit and you just need to get out of your comfort zone and pick up the phone or walk next door and see how they're doing. Is for you to get out of the boat, would it mean to offer to lead a Bible study, something that you've been wanting to do for a while, but you weren't sure? Could it be to explore the gifts and the talents and the passions that God's given you and saying to Jesus, what would you like to do with these? And then be willing to get out of the boat. You see, this congregation, First Presbyterian of Auburndale, as Lemoyne said, this is the beginning of a new day for us. We have no idea what it is that God is calling us to do together as a community of people who love God and want to serve God. But are we willing to get out of the boat? Are we willing to offer to God our resources, be good stewards of all that God has given us, because all that we have is from God, and trust and risk and want to move toward Jesus and walk with Jesus? You see, this experience of Peter and the disciples, but especially Peter, was very vivid and unforgettable. And having read through the book of Acts and knowing that Peter was martyred for his faith and all that he went through after Jesus returned to the Father, I have to believe that this was a very vivid, unforgettable experience of Jesus that Peter was going to need to draw on in the future. And it's a lesson for us as well to step out of the boat in faith, even if it's just a little bit of faith. We don't need to apologize for a tiny bit of faith. We have faith and put it in God's hands and see where we can go. Because you see, Jesus is still calling us to follow. Are we listening? And the Spirit is still at work all around us. Jesus does come to us in unexpected ways, just as the disciples did not expect to see him walking toward them on the water. And Jesus comes toward us, moves to us in the middle of a storm. But are we looking? Are we aware of God coming toward us and offering us opportunities to serve? And Jesus does continue to be with us. That's his promise. I will never leave you. He's given us his Spirit. But are we believing to step out of the boat? Faith, just the size of a mustard seed. And Peter was the only one to get out of the boat, but the lives of the other disciples were impacted because they responded by worshiping Jesus. This week, go to the Lord in prayer, perhaps picking up the upper room. They're located out here. And maybe your boat is to just set aside 10 or 15 minutes every day to look into God's word and to spend time in prayer. Therefore, thereby creating room and space for you to hear Jesus calling and to sense the Spirit leading you to walk with Jesus in the adventure of faith. Let's pray. For your word and for being true to your word all these years. Thank you, God, for being faithful. Thank you, God, for your love and for inviting us on the adventure of faith, with the confidence that you are with us and that when we cry out for help, that you immediately reach out and pull us up. Show us what this means this week, dear God, that we may follow you in faithfulness and in love. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.